Okay? And by the way, that like that pen is pretty slick, eh? It says, yeah. I was like, it doesn't work. I'll just give it away. No, joking. that pen, you know, you just have businesses that send you these things so that they hope that you order hundreds of them, but we don't. So we just give them away. And so, but it's not just a pen. There's a flashlight in there too. Isn't that cool? And it's not a pen flashlight. It's two separate things. And it says Coast Hills Community Church. So there you go. That is how generous we are here. And we're also going to enjoy people's generosity here. A couple things. On the Accessible Sunday, we've only done like three of those. And that came from our listening committee. And do you know what? We have lots of people that are interested in that Sunday. A lot of people that are coming with big smiles on their faces saying, you know what? We're actually, sometimes churches actually can be really loud. And some of us that are okay with loud, we're like, yeah, for sure. But you know what? Some people that church is too loud for, they don't actually have a place or a church to actually go and worship at. And so this is actually pretty incredible. I don't hear of a lot of churches doing this. So this is, we believe this is the Spirit of God speaking to our community and the elders and the leaders seeing it and then saying, hey, this is a need. And so when we on Accessible Sunday, we have different people that will come during that for that Sunday that month, which is pretty incredible. So thanks for being willing to do that together. Couple things. Tyler mentioned to me earlier, he said, hey, can you, what did you say? Offer someone, I'll give you $50 if you tell Danny that she won't do the donation thing. And because he thinks maybe that he'll make more money that way. And then Paul mentioned to me, wondering if people want to match what Danny's doing here. So we mentioned about being like a little push at the end of our fiscal year. We're voting on our budget next week. That is on the over by the giving table, and you can take that budget with you and look at it. And so I wanted to make sure something was clear today, Danny, as we gathered here together, Danny. when I just want to make sure you and I together are on the same page. When you said, like, each child from Kids Life is going to come and talk to you about how many they heard, you're giving 10 cents per word per child? Whoa, okay. So that could add up. Yeah, wonderful. So good. Pardon? Yeah, anyone involved in Kids Life can come and tell Danny how many times you've heard the word together, together, together. And then she's going to make the donation of 10 cents per word per child that heard that word. Or. Well, that now if you think this way, Paul had a great idea saying there's some other adults that could match what Danny gives. So if you are that person, you can maybe let Danny know, saying, okay, Danny, let me know what it is because I'm going to match that. So I'm not sure if you want to actually say that now. You could just, yeah, raise your hand. Paul, yeah, okay. Danny, look at these people. You need to find them. Paul, want to say their names? Urza, yes. He's up there together with Stuart, right? Yes. Wonderful. Yeah. We've just nominated Stuart. Perfect. This is so good. This is wonderful. Let me pray. God, thank you for this opportunity to gather here together and allow us to understand what this means, meaning those of us that have this faith in you, Jesus. But what does it mean to be a church gathered? What does it mean to be our particular church here in Cloverdale, in the various places that we live, that we come and we meet here? So I pray that that we would catch a vision of what you might want to continue to do as you shape this Jesus-centered community. Jesus, thank you for the love that you've shown us. Thank you for saving us by your grace. I pray that my words here would encourage us in that. I pray this in your name. Amen. So good. Well, we've already got to our goal because we were saying, you know, we've come through the Lent season, and now we're in Eastertide, and we're kind of saying, we got to kind of get together, and maybe you just need to laugh more as a church, and we've already been doing that, and that's a really good thing. And so today, we're going to be looking at the verses in Acts 2, 42 to 47. This is, so if you think about it, we're continuing our series in Eastertide, although we're jumping into Acts, but it's a reflection of continuing our series that we do on long weekends like this, our family series. Do anyone remember the family series, the family service that we did? What we talked about? There was one main word that we tried to unpack. This was like months ago, and it was a long weekend. And anyone know what we remember? We had a whole bunch of different people from different generations up by the cross, and we talked about a word. And I said, you can't go to because you are the, yes, church. So we're continuing this and going, what does the church look like? Now, how do we unpack this? So, and as the children are here, we have these wonderful coloring pages that we're going to hear a little bit later. Cecil Richmond actually has been drawing those and will continue to draw those. And we're going to have an opportunity to do some watercoloring later. But kids, I want you to write in maybe some things that you hear or something that you kind of went, oh, what does this mean to be together as a church? Or maybe there's a question, or maybe you can draw what you're hearing and continue to do that. I'll also have a few questions for you. So, but let's read Acts 2, 42 to, we'll probably read the whole thing, 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything in common. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals together with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So I want to try to unpack this on a few different words. And hopefully, I'll have a few questions. Hopefully, we can answer them together as well. Did you catch that? Yes. And even this scripture had that word in there, Danny. Glad you picked 10 cents together. So, in forming a Jesus-centered community, because this group of people, why are they meeting? Are they meeting just for the sake of community? Some maybe. But they were really originally formed and led by the apostles, who were the ones that are the closest to Jesus and his teachings, the ones that were hiding in the room, right? The ones that kind of didn't understand the Messiah that has now been died on the cross, but then he rose again. Now they're saying, okay, now what do we do? This must be true. And Jesus sent them off to do what? In the text in John that we looked up, to go and be forgivers and to go and be sent as he was sent into the world to love as he was loved, as he loved us. So this Jesus-centered community is formed together with a willingness to be learned and taught by the apostles. And these humble leaders, this ragtag movement of people that believe Jesus' command, I believe that this is the big thing that they heard in their hearts. Jesus had a new command, and that command was love one another and love God. Love God and love one another. Jesus unpacks and looks at, pointing to his scripture, which would have been the whole Old Testament, that we also see that this is now formulating the New Testament. The whole commands, the laws and the prophets, can be summed up into what? One command, which is really two commands. Love God and love other people. And this is what's happening. They're including people. They're seeing, they're listening to the apostles' teaching, which isn't going to be much different than what Jesus taught. They're going to be teaching what Jesus has taught to his disciples. Thank you. And they enjoyed each other's company. They carved out time to form this community that Jesus was the head in. They shared and met together, and they prayed together. Later on, Danny, again, has written some prayers for us that the Isley family will be praying for us and praying, and we're going to pray with them in this way, that they met together, they prayed together, and there was a sense of awe. So there was this sense of discovery. Okay, teach us. Apostle, you are with Jesus. Teach us what is, like, unpack the scriptures for us. What does this mean to live as Jesus is Lord of my life? So there was this sense of awe and discovery for them. There was this sharing that they had with one another. And guess what? A lot of the sharing happened around what? Any kids can unpack in the scripture? What did it talk about there? What did they mainly share? Pardon? Someone said it? Food, right? They mainly shared food. There's something that happens when you're at the table with someone and you're sitting and getting to know one another. And someone that has worked hard to prepare something for you, there's something that happens. There's divides that have been broken. There's barriers that break as we gather together around a table. That is a beautiful thing. So they're sharing together, and there is a great sense of awe. The apostles were doing all kinds of here it's saying miraculous signs and wonders. And those signs and wonders were happening so that people can see what? What were those signs and wonders? What were they pointing to? Would be my question. Adults, you got to answer this one. What were those signs and wonders that the apostles are doing? What were they pointing to? Bueller. Bueller. Because my understanding, and this is where I love, when we hear the stories that Paul shares of these, we don't necessarily see these around as much anymore, but Paul is hearing stories like that all the time. He's working with people because the signs and the wonders and the miracles point to a living God, Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he has all the power and authority over death, over darkness, over the evil one, and he is able to triumph over everything. And yes, it's his love for his people, but the sign always points to the person of Jesus. And that is a beautiful thing. So for us in our context, you know what? We can be praying for miracles. We can pray for these things, and if we don't see them, that's okay because, well, we need someone with the faith of miracles to be preaching on this right now. I'll just be honest. I have had some miracles happen in my life, but when they don't, we still need to be living a life that points us to the Lordship of Jesus. Do you understand what I mean? All at the beginning of that time, this is pointing to who Jesus was, as well as the meeting together, the sharing with one another, the teaching. All of that was pointing to the Lordship of Jesus in their life, not just the signs and wonders. That's an amazing thing. So there's discovery, there's sharing, there's eating, there's prayer. We want to be a people that continue to pray. We want to find opportunities to pray. As a life group, as a church, we kind of say, hey, can you get involved in the life group if you're able to? We know that people, we also provide gracious space. We know that people always can't be involved because of their life and because of the busyness. But would you find someone? Could you find someone that you could pray with Is there someone here that now we're facing one another, right? We did that intentionally because we say we're in it together. Is there someone even here that you could be even praying for? And maybe the next step, maybe you look and you're like going, okay, I'm not sure I want to get to know everyone right now. That's okay. But, right? But maybe I'm going to look at that face and this is the person I'm going to pray for next week. And if you don't know that person, maybe after, around the charcuterie table, you can just ask them their name. Maybe some of us, we need to be praying with one another a little bit more intently about as we get to know one another with the needs that they have, to pray for them, that God would be in the midst and God would show up and surprise us like what we've been talking about at Eastertide season. Does that make sense? The last part of the verse, 44 and on, I think I use this term, join us in the mess. This idea of sharing and worship and invitation. Those are three words that come out in this. It says, like, together and shared. Shared three times during that time, and together is two. And there's this sense of that is the main thrust of this passage. Under an understanding of a Jesus-centered community, that Jesus is leading us in this way, to live this way, a more beautiful way, because this is going to be attractive for people. This is going to be attractive for people. And so there's this sense of invitation for people as well. So people were joining, but I wonder, what did that look like? As people were learning and understanding this new, beautiful way of Jesus, they were inviting, they were talking with, they were struggling, and they're saying, hey, come along, check this out. I've been convicted in the last little while, and we've been praying about how do we be more intentionally to invite? If this is really just such a beautiful thing, how do I invite my friends? How do I invite people into understanding this good news of God? Something to be thinking about. We want to continue to invite. Kids, you guys invite your friends all the time. We need to learn from you. Keep doing it. Keep inviting. Keep inviting. And so here, I think we do this well as well here. We gather here to share our resources. We gather here in this space to share our resources so that we can meet here and have our weekly worship gathering. We don't gather for the sake of gathering. We gather around a person. A person who has revealed God to us. And that person is also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We gather around. The worship teams practice and they pray so that they can put words in our mouths to remind us of who God is and who we are. Sometimes, do you forget sometimes things, kids? Do you ever forget things during the week? And maybe what you need to do or how you should act? Or maybe your mom and dad ask you to do something and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's a squirrel. I'm going to run after it. Or you're like, oh, my friend came to the door and now you're out. And then you're like, and they just maybe ask you a simple thing like, could you pick up your clothes maybe? Sometimes we forget these things, right? The same way I think sometimes we forget as people that are, say we're following Jesus, we forget. Life happens. There's all kinds of stuff that happens in our lives and we forget maybe who we are. Sometimes we even forget who God is. And then we want to choose to do this so we come together to be reminded of this glorious good news of Jesus. God with us in the midst of our mess. So thank you. You who led worship today that are going to sing songs later on. Thank you for doing this. An interesting thing that I think I can share this. Sharon and I were with some friends and we were chatting about this. And friends that don't go to church at all, and we're hanging out, and we're talking about church. And they had a great perspective, because sometimes we can forget. As I look, most of us here, I think I can say most of us here have been a part of church for a little bit anyway. But we can forget what it looks like on the outside. Let me tell you, as I was setting up these chairs, going, oh my goodness, I know this might freak some people out. Right? And then I'm thinking about a newcomer. What does this mean? And I'm thinking, well, I think we can unpack it well enough anyway. But our friends were telling us, saying, yeah, so at your church, what do you guys do? And so we're explaining it. And they said, we're explaining, well, we get together, and then we'll sing a little bit. They're like, oh, yeah, I was at a church. And then they're chatting. They're like, yeah, it's kind of like group karaoke. And Sharon and I are like, yeah, yeah, it is. And they're like, yeah, yeah, like, does it happen? Like, you guys get together, and, like, there's words on the screen, and they come up when you're ready to sing, and then you sing it all together, and it's group karaoke. I'm like, yeah, yeah, it is. But we're singing for a purpose and around. So it's not, do you understand? Like, for the outsider, it might look like group karaoke. And we don't, heaven help us, we don't come to just do group karaoke here. We come to be reminded of who God is. That he's the King of kings and Lord of lords, but he's also the God that is with us and saved us and walking with us in the midst of everything. And so Sharon, like, okay, we have some, maybe we need to invite our friends so they can see that, yes, it is group karaoke, but there's something more meaningful here. We gather together to share our resources. Here, we rent the space out. We share a lot here. You had the stats, 29 families, just under $13,000 automatically. That means when they're not here, they're still giving. Amazing. Because we believe in a vision that we're a Jesus-centered community, creating gracious space through acts of generous love, so that more would have an understanding of who God is, and that we ourselves would be impacted by that and live out our daily lives, that it would look like we're Jesus followers as well. What a beautiful thing. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you. We also know that there's a whole bunch of people that also give not on the automatic, because we need roughly just over $20,000 and 20, well, 23 in there, 22 to kind of make ends work if we want to do what we think we want to do. What a beautiful thing. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for sharing together in this cause of being a Jesus-centered community. We don't take that for granted. I don't take that for granted. We gather to experience being known by others as well, and to walk with others in the midst of life circumstances. This is why we turn the chairs to each other here. I want to encourage us. I've probably had this last month, and not including anyone here, just so you know, anyone in our church, I talked to four guys. Each of those guys at some point said to me, you know, I don't think I know anyone. I don't know if anyone really knows me. I was like, oh. I was like, well, let's go for coffee more. And it came out of pain. It came in the midst of pain as well. Men, Tyler has this great, awesome idea to get together, to eat around food, and to struggle what it means to be a Jesus follower. That's happening June 8th at our ministry center. You are welcome to come. It'd be great to see you there, as we get to know one another, and not just for men. But we need to figure out, how do we do that? How do we allow, if the God of the universe makes himself known to us, could we make ourselves known to one another in that way? We gather together to invite others to the shared table. We invite. Not only do we share, not only do we worship, but we invite. And I think this is one thing, if I think about it, I wonder if God's stirring something in us in the months and this year to come, that we would continue to be an inviting church, individually, in my own life, as well as a church. That would be so exciting to be praying about that. And I think God is working in us in these ways. We are going to... We're going to unveil this in a minute. We're going to put a few more things under there. At the end of the service, we really see that this, the word kept saying, shared meals, shared meals, shared meals. And that was the main theme. And so at the end of the service, we want to linger. We want to take some time. We intentionally were like, we're not going to go long. Because we want to take some time to break bread and cheese and crackers and brownies together. And I encourage you to say hi to, if you're, just say hi to one person. If you're like me, you'll spin around and say hi to everyone. But if you could just maybe get to know one person. And we'll have some, it'll be here, you can come up and get it. But we have a few more things we want to do before the end of the service, though. I'm going to call Cecil Richmond is going to come up. And about this idea about being in it together, again, this came out of an interesting need that we had. And Julie's like, well, I think Cecil's an artist. And you're going to share a little bit about kind of what's motivated you to do this. Yeah.
Okay, so, I guess I just call it doodling. I don't know what else I would really call it. So I've been doodling for a long time. It sort of started as something I was doing, like, in the margins of my notes during class, and then it became something where people were asking me to help them with projects, and then also using it as, a time to find some quiet moments for me to unwind or focus on something specific or whatever. So, yeah, a little while ago, Julia asked me if I would be interested in making some art pages for a church, for people to, it started as something for Accessible Sunday, something, a different way for people to worship. And then that's sort of what it became, something where people, it's a different, I guess, mode of worship for people. So, some of us worship really well through music, and others of us worship is something very different. And what I hope is that this can be a different form of worship for people, whether it helps you focus or engage or whatever it is. So, yeah.
Thank you.
There you go.
So good. Thank you. Because some people might think we just like Googled it, but no, Cecil doodled it, which is great. Yeah, I like that one, eh? It's good. Thank you, Cecil. As well as, we're going to call the Isley family up. They're going to lead us in a prayer. And then after this prayer, then we're going to sing two more songs. We're going to have a benediction. And then we're going to spend some time around a table.
Good morning. Let's pray together. Father God, we gather together in your name. Scripture tells us that God is enthroned in the praises of his people. Thank you, Lord, that when we gather to worship, you are with us.
Lord, we know that you are there when we pray. Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." Thank you, God, for when we pray, you are with us.
We know that you are there, God, when your word is read, preached, loved, and obeyed. You said, "I am watching over my word to perform it." We praise you, Lord, that when the Bible speaks, you are with us.
Thank you, God, that you are everywhere. Lord, you declare, "Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him? Do I not fill the heaven and the earth? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." Thank you, God, that no matter where you go, where we go, you are with us. We pray this together in the precious and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.